Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Why wouldn't we?
All hail Eric Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago
here
Tribune.
Here I am.
How are you, Eric?
My walk-up music. There
nice
it is.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Let's address the cover of one of our newspapers, the Chicago Sun-Times.
What the heck is up with that?
Very strange cover today.
It's a blank page, basically.
Yes, it is.
At the bottom of the page, it says, "This page intentionally left blank. Your complete Sun-Times is inside." I've never seen a cover quite like this.
It's What's like their the White point? Album. They stole this from the Beatles, Eric. I've seen this before.
So are there posters of whom in there?
There's yes. a double newspaper inside.
Yes.
No, it's meant to dramatize the, I guess, the dire straits that the Sun-Times is in right now. And inside is a note from Chris Fusco, the, I don't know who it's from now that I thought it was from Fusco. But
isn't it Fusco or am I imagining
no,
things?
No, I think it's Fusco. Oh. But they talk about basically, what they're doing is they're putting up a paywall to their digital content now. And essentially they're...
The Tribune did as well.
The Tribune did, but didn't. I mean, we've gone back and forth over the years as to how we're handling this. And essentially they want to charge $7.50 a month for access to complete Sun-Times content online, which is a pretty reasonable price.
But the Tribune started something, right, where you were allowed five articles
yeah.
that you could see for free.
And then after that, you get charged.
Per month,
and
right?
I went and noodled around on the website, Sun-Times website, this morning just to see what had happened. And I think that you blocked from reading articles unless you're going to pay, like I said, $7.50 a month for digital access to
right.
it. And that probably gives you access to the digital replica as well. I'm not exactly sure about that. I know the Tribune charges $2 a week, so it's very similar for digital access. And, you know, what this demonstrates, illustrates, whatever, is that it's a tough time
sure.
in journalism. And, you know, we've also been hit by the newspaper industry has been hit by the tariffs on newsprint. And the Tampa Times just announced that they were going to have to be laying off, I think it was like 24 people because of the increased cost. And I mean, it went from like $600 a ton. That can't be right, but you know, something like, maybe that's right. But it was like $600 to $800 per unit of newsprint, whatever it might be. And this is going to cost them a lot of money because of these trade things that are going on right now. And so that's going to hit.
Is this the ink we're talking about a tariff on, or the pulp that the paper is?
No, this is actually the paper.
The paper itself.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, my understanding of it, I haven't read deeply into that issue, but I do know that they've announced that there are going to be some pretty serious layoffs, and that's going to be true across the industry.
Right.
And so what you're seeing with the Sun-Times is you're seeing this, basically, they're saying, hey, you know, we can't do this for free. And I think their circulation is probably down. Ours has certainly been down over the years because people are more and more reading on their phones. You know, I ride the train and I see people, everyone's on their phone all the time. And I think they are often reading our content or they're playing Candy Crush, whatever they're doing. But they are often, we have the saying in our businesses, we have more readers than we've ever had. We just don't have as many subscribers as we used to have.
So that's a mixed blessing, isn't it?
It is a mixed blessing in that our content is getting out there. It is impactful, more impactful
sure.
probably than ever. But yeah, I mean, you have to be able to pay editors and writers and
so the way
especially
to not,
columnists.
So if you're looking to cash in on that in some way, you have to sell ads online. Right.
Well, you try, and the problem is that those kind of, you know, the banner ads have never proved all that effective, and you know the pop up ads. I mean, just the what people can charge for that just it isn't the same as what it is in
right.
print. We've never been able to replicate that. And of course, we lost most of our classified advertising to Craigslist
sure.
and similar things, and we've lost a lot of our movie advertising, a lot of things that used to just fill the paper.
Even stuff like obituaries. There was a time where you had two pages of obituaries on a daily basis. Now there's days you turn to that part of the newspaper, and there might be six or eight listings for the day.
That's because you know how expensive
it is.
They are.
Sure.
People are living longer, Bill. That's what
is that what it is? No one's died.
I can't believe how expensive obituaries are now, though. Again, I had three friends who lost their fathers, and some of them did not put them in the newspaper because it was like $500. $500?
Right. Well, you could all, you also figure that now that news is carried on things like Facebook. Like if somebody you know has passed away, word travels faster on Facebook than the chance of somebody.
And there are those websites like iLegacy.com, I want to say, where you can go and actually, and there's a very lengthy, often with photos, things like that, so that the word is getting out that way too. No, we are being hammered all across, you know, in many different ways. And this is why I was kind of, well, I was annoyed by this ad that the Sun-Times created and put out just recently, kind of attacking the Tribune while trying to promote their own product. I think Jasmine has some of the audio from that.
Can we run that, Jess? All right.
There are two daily newspapers in Chicago. One that relates, and one that doesn't. One whose priority is hardworking people, and another whose priorities aren't so clear. One that stands together with those who stand up for themselves, and another that sits in judgment. One that's not afraid to get their hands dirty. Another that keeps their distance. One that understands your struggles. One that struggles to understand. One that is written in blood, sweat, and tears. And another that's written us off. One that covers the stories that most matter to you. And another that covers the ones that matter to them. There are two newspapers in Chicago, but only one that works as hard as you do. The Chicago Sun-Times, the hardest working paper in America.
Now, see, I think their problem is if they're printing the paper with blood instead of ink, it's going to be much more costly.
And I don't work very hard, so that doesn't work as hard as I do.
So, I mean, of course, we just played their entire ad, which is probably what they wanted. I think they wanted to get some attention for that ad. I just thought it was really unfair of them. First of all, I mean, we're all in trouble. The thing is, there's all kinds of, like, the editor of the Sun-Times, his wife works at the Tribune, and we've had lots of cross-pollination over the years. It's like, we are friendly with them.
It's similar to the Cubs and White Sox rivalry, where you're in the same game, so there's going to be some competition, but it's always been a fairly friendly competition.
Fairly friendly competition, yeah. I mean, I'm good pals with Neil Steinberg, for instance. I mean, he and I used to snipe at each other in print, but you know, we have lunch, and I think they do good journalism, and I have a lot of respect for the paper, and I'm really glad it's there.
Sure.
I did a piece in Sunday's paper where I took him to task for this. I was like, come on. Like, first of all, you know, I talked to Ed, or I had some communication with Edwin Eisendrath, who's the CEO of Sun-Times Media. So why are you saying stuff about the Tribune? The Tribune's filled with journalists who work really hard, and you know, you act like we're not covering stories.
It seems unfair.
I mean, we're the paper that started off this property tax series. We led the way in blowing the lid off the problems of the property tax, which is hurting poor people, low-income people the most, the way the property tax system is screwed up. And that's why Joe Barrios lost for re-election. And so, I mean, that was the Tribune. And Tribune has done so much investigative work in that area. I'm not saying this to denigrate the Sun-Times. We just have more resources. We have a bigger newsroom. And the stories we do stick up for the little guy. So anyway, I asked Eisendrath, like, what is this all about? And he pointed to some editorials that he disagreed with. And the Tribune's editorials, the stances that we've taken, our editorial page tends to be fairly conservative, and the Sun-Times has got some union connections, the AFL-CIO is on their board and so on. And I understand that. I totally get that. I mean, I sit with the people on the editorial board. I like them. But I don't agree with them a lot of the time, and it's fine. I mean, but that is one page in the paper. It's an important page, but it's a one page, and we don't have a lot of communication with the newsroom. So the idea that our reporters are covering stories that matter only to them,
and
are out of touch and so on. I thought that was just like way over the top, considering the kind of respect that we've always shown them over the years, anyway, it was an interesting little back and forth, but
the paper a couple of years ago that suggested that their columnists go out or the reporters go out with a camera and snap the pictures instead of bringing a photographer with you? It'd be better for us if you went out, the person covering the story, and took the pictures.
Well, that was the Sun-Times, because they got rid of their entire photo department.
In a day, right?
Yeah, I think they got rid of them all at once. And again, it was a cost-cutting thing, and nobody thought it was... It wasn't like they were sitting around going, we don't need photographers. They know that they need
just
photographers. They just needed to save money. It's part of what's going on in our industry, is that, you know, these papers are stressed. I think that the Sun-Times reporters do work hard. I think our reporters work really hard, too. We got people who are out, and, you know, one of the reasons reasons that we are opposed to this legislation about bulletproof vests. Have you been following this at all? There's a law saying that private citizens can't own or purchase bulletproof vests. One of the reasons that we're opposed to that is that when we sent our reporters out overnight down in some of these tough neighborhoods to cover these stories, they were protection. Yeah. They were bulletproof vests. So anyway, I mean, the reporters in this town are working hard. They're not making a lot of money on either, you know, side of the river, wherever the Sun-Times is now.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
West. But I just thought, I thought that this marked a sort of a new low for me. I've been around a long time in this town. The competition between the papers, usually the ads are like, you know, we've got the best sports section in America, or, you know, we cover the world and that kind of stuff. And it wasn't like we cover the world and they don't cover anything. And it was you know, the idea that we struggle to understand.
Very aggressive.
That we keep our distance. Very aggressive. And I thought really, you know, probably, especially given that we're all in such tough times right now.
Right. Absolutely.
So anyway, maybe we're going to see another newspaper war. I don't know. In terms of a battle for this diminishing number of readers. Or there's this sort of sense of cooperation that we're all in it together, and that we really do need people to, you know, sponsor the journalism, whether they're subscribing, whether they're having digital subscriptions, that kind of thing. And that's just going to come. You're just going to find that publications can't survive without it. And when they have smaller and smaller newsrooms, then you end up with, you know, with smaller and smaller, you know, coverage.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Smaller news holes, less coverage. And one of the things that guarantees a democracy is you have reporters at meetings. You have reporters, you know, out covering events, finding out what's really going on, and not everyone having the spin doctors in
Absolutely.
Charge.
That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune, the paper that has stuff printed on their cover today, if you're looking for a newspaper.
If you're looking for a paper that's
stuff.
Got something on the front page.
Although, don't you love the tabloid form? I'm sorry. I wish the Tribune would go tabloid.
Well, we did have that the Red Eye.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Weekly. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of cool. I mean, this blank front page. People are talking about it. We're talking about it. We were all talking about it upstairs. It's like, you know, it's a big deal. It's a moment in Chicago Journal. People are going to be talking about this for a long time. You know, tabloid headlines are great. The ones in New York are fabulous.
Right.
So it's a fun part of the tradition. And again, you know, I think we really hope that the Sun-Times doesn't go away.
Of course not.
We've always, you know, because not only do we have friends there, but I value it as an institution, you know, that brings the stories to light that we don't cover for one reason or another.
It's one of those cases where it makes you better. Having the competition just naturally is going to make you better.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It just does.
Yeah, sounds
right.
Terrific. Hey, I've got another story to talk about
can you,
the front page of the Tribune today, but...
Can we wait a few minutes on this, Eric?
You're such a great actor. I swear.
I mean,
God.
I can tell
I guess
this
we
is something
wait.
That needs to be discussed, but can we wait just 2 minutes?
I guess we can wait.
Right.
It's a great scam, though.
But, we'll cover that next. It's Bill and Wendy along with Eric Zorn on WGN. Wendy, a quick correction. I earlier said that the royal baby had been named Prince Murray. It is not Murray. It is Amukamara. Eric Zorn is here of the Chicago Tribune. Eric,
I just don't know what to believe anymore.
Interesting.
Not Bill Leff.
Interesting story about a change of address gone awry.
It's on the front page of the Tribune. I didn't see it on the front page of the Sun-Times.
No, there's nothing on the front page of the Sun-Times.
I didn't see anything on the front page of the Sun-Times.
It's
a fascinating story
Tabula
by my colleague Jason Meisner. Apparently, this guy, 24-year-old guy, lives in Rogers Park, used to work at UPS a while ago, among other things that he'd done.
Mm-hmm.
He goes online and he fills out a change of address form for UPS headquarters in an office park in Atlanta, fills it out to go from there to 6750 North Ashland in Chicago, his apartment building.
Yeah.
He fills this out, and so Postal Service goes, oh, okay, that sounds reasonable. UPS is relocating to a small apartment in Rogers Park. And so for 3 months... The mail that's directed to UPS. Thousands of pieces of mail goes to this guy's apartment.
How does this happen?
Well, it's because it's really easy to do, right? It's really easy to.
It shouldn't
fill out
be anymore.
You could do this if you had a neighbor you didn't like, right?
Yeah, but why don't they check anything?
Well, apparently they say that they do. They say they send a form to one address and then the other, but this doesn't happen all that often. They only have about 1,000 inquiries like this a year, but it just seems to me that when you have something that, if it's a residence, right, and you're just like, I'm moving this residence from here to here, but if it's a business, you'd think that it would be worth a phone call or something. Anyway, this guy, the 24-year-old guy, he apparently,
Chicagoan,
yeah.
Makes us proud, doesn't it?
Deshaun Spruce is his name. He allegedly cashed $58,000 worth of checks.
Okay, how did that happen,
that's the problem.
Too?
Well, that's, again,
does it have his address?
Low security, but he's got the checks. Maybe he endorses them to himself. I'm not sure how that works.
But it wouldn't have his name on it. It would have UPS unless he put his name.
Well, he maybe signed it or endorsed, paid to the order of. I don't know how that works either. But in any case, one thing it just calls attention to is really how, you know, we're all obsessed with security and passwords and stuff. That you can go out at UPS and you can fill out a vacation hold and just put your address in and say, hold my mail for 3 weeks. You could do that
at the postal service.
The postal, okay. Yeah, postal, and this is postal service. Did I say UPS? Yes. And postal service. That you can just go and fill this out and they hold your mail. It's really convenient because they don't make you jump through any hoops, and it works very, very well. But you would think that the postal carrier, in bringing, you know, they said they were bringing literally tubs of mail to this guy. I mean, the guy, everyone has a little, in this apartment building, everyone has like a little cubby, you know, where you get your mail. You get a couple of bills and maybe a magazine stuffed in there. Well, this guy was getting tubs of mail dropped off at his door.
Every day.
And you think the mail carrier would just go, UPS headquarters, 6750 North Ash.
It's not his job or her job to look at it. Well, they're just delivering it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, you would think that maybe they would, some alarm would go off and they would come back and go, boss, you know, I know it's not my job to monitor all these things, but it does seem weird to me that UPS headquarters has relocated from an office park in Atlanta to a guy's little apartment.
Isn't it a federal offense? I've always been told it's a federal offense to tamper with U.S. mail.
Yes. Yes.
Even so much as, like, you can't go up to somebody's mailbox and take a letter out or put a letter in. You can't even do anything like that.
I don't know if it's a federal offense. I know that it's a rule that you're not supposed to use the mailbox in somebody's house for anything other than mail.
Right.
So if you've got a flyer, political flyer.
I left garbage stickers in there for my neighbor today. I put it in their mailbox. So am I going to get arrested?
We're going to visit you. It'll probably be like a prison camp, not an actual prison.
There would have been a story about you on the front page of the Chicago Sun-Times today, Wendy, except for the fact that
dodged a bullet.
There was no Sun-Times today.
Right.
But it is. That's why candidates will put things on, they'll wrap things on your doorknob.
Right.
With a rubber band or something.
Right.
But no, this is clearly, you know, a pretty serious crime. But the thing that's kind of, first of all, it's the absurdity of it. It's not like, you know, he took a small business and moved
no.
it. He took UPS.
A major company
and did this. And the fact that it's apparently so easy.
And it went on for 3 months.
And it went on for three months. That's the other thing about it. I mean, if they caught it in 3 days, the postal carrier goes, well, wait a minute, there's clearly a mistake. I mean, that's the one thing you'd look at and go, well, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, our postal carrier in our neighborhood, if someone's got like, it's addressed to us, but it's got the neighbor's address. Someone's like slipped a digit. They'll usually just put it in the right mailbox.
Sure,
they know the names, and so they're looking at the mail. They're not just automatons.
Yeah, right.
So it's it's just a story about, to me, it's a story about how trusting some places still are. Like, yeah, you want to change your address? Sure, go ahead.
Fill this out.
If you steal mail, you could be facing serious punishment under U.S. Code Section 1708 because the USPS is a federal agency. Mail theft is charged as a federal offense.
Yep. It's serious.
Could go to jail.
Eric, thank you so much for stopping by. Always good to see you. It's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up for you next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.